Good morning. How are you all doing? It's been a great morning. Yes, I know you're going to have trouble with the chairs and the way some of the pews are set up and doing that. Change is good. This has nothing to do with the message. Change is good. I'll tell you how good change is. I'm going to back up a little bit. The parking lot. We got notice that the parking lot was not truly ours. Even though it was not ours because some deed had never been recorded. And we're figuring out, how are we going to get this deed recorded? Well, we had to go to the lawyer, who now has to go to other people, and we had all this entire thing that we had to do because we have no paperwork that tells us that we own the property. So we have to pay a lawyer $5,000 to get started, even to begin doing any of this stuff. We pay him $5,000 to get started. And then through some things there, we've decided to move the office from the house into the church here. And so the office is getting moved, and that's change. And so the last time we went beyond the walls, we changed and we're moving stuff. In the process of that change, we found the deeds and the paperwork for the property. So the lawyer has sent us back, not all the money because he has done some work, but he sent us back over two-thirds, over three-quarters of the money that we paid to him. See? Yeah. That's good. So as much as we don't like change at times, sometimes change is a good thing. And through that change, we were able to find some paperwork. Not only that, but we found other paperwork that had just been stashed somewhere. And if you know anything about church, and as our boards and our elders and leadership and things change and things get moved around, stuff happens to get lost. So we made some changes, and that's a good thing. But today we're going to, Colin's already ahead of me up here, and that's good. Today we're going to continue the series disciplines are meant to be ways to draw closer to God. Go ahead and throw the first one up there, Colin. That'll be the first one. To have God fill our emptiness. We fast to increase our hunger for God and renew so that we might have the mind of Christ. We practice solitude to get alone with God. We pray so that we can converse and have this dialogue with our Heavenly Father. Now, the danger with any of the spiritual disciplines is that we can use them to actually keep our distance from God. As one woman said a long time ago, in my day, we wanted to be on the right side of God, but we didn't want to be too close to Him. You see, we can fast out of spiritual pride. Or we can pray like we're going through a drive-thru window at McDonald's. We can study to know all about God, and yet never, if we do not remember what the key purpose of the disciplines are, other than life. I think that is possible, and that is true of the spiritual discipline of silence. Not of silence, of service. Which we're going to be studying today. See, we can perform all sorts of service for God without ever connecting with God. I know of people who perform acts of service for others because they don't really want to have to relate to them. They're the ones who are always in the kitchen at the parties because it's easier to wash dishes than it is in order to have to relate. Yeah, there's a few of us that are raising your hands. And I'm looking back and I can see you when you're raising your hands. It's working because when there's so much stuff going on out there, I tend to want to shut down. And I'm serious. I really have trouble with it. So, I fit in that category. With God as well. We can serve Him in order to not have to relate to Him. In the end, God does call us to service. But He doesn't want our service. He actually wants us, each and every one of us. And we can use our service to keep ourselves from Him, or we can use it to give ourselves to Him. Now, Jesus tells a story in the book of Luke, chapter 15. And you may have heard of it, you may know what it is. It's the parable of the prodigal son. Now, by calling it that, we kind of forget that it's the story of two sons. You see, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and he went off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a famine in the land, in the whole country. And he began to be in need. So he goes out and he hires himself out to a citizen of that country who sends him off into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach, even with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he comes to his senses, he says, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and let's kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." And many times we will stop the story right there. Because we all love a story of redemption, a story where the son has come home. What I want to do today is I want to read on. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied. 'And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property on prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Many of us might actually be able to relate a little bit better with the older son. See, he's the firstborn son, but he has been serving his father like a resentful slave, not a loving son. If he knew how much his father loved him, how much his father wanted to bless him, he would learn to behave like a son and serve out of love rather than duty. The older son serves, but he never really knows the father. The older son thinks that the father only wants his service, that he is appreciated only for what he can do. But the father only wants the son to come in and to join the party. He loves him for who he is and not what he does or what he can do. We need to treat the spiritual discipline of service as a way to get to know the Father. A way to know Jesus rather than a duty or a penance. Something that we are making to make up for our failings or our shortcomings or the wrong things that we've done. Jesus, he describes the day of judgment this way, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered around him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on the left." And you guys thought we had two rows just for the wedding, right? "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared by my Father for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now you can take Jesus' statement there to mean that in the great ledger in the sky, when we do acts of service for those who are less fortunate than us, then he counts that in the column, things done for Jesus. You know, you get a crown, a new gemstone in your crown, or a notch in your belt, or a little check mark for you. And there is some truth to that. But the Bible says that to lend to the poor, that to give to the poor is to lend to Jesus. But you see, Jesus' statement is stronger than all of that. He doesn't say, what you did was like you did it for me. No, he says, what you did for me. While we will be judged on how we treat the poor, the destitute, the sick and the lonely, Jesus is also saying that service is an opportunity to encounter him. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, this is my body and this is my blood. And Christians down throughout the ages have known that the table, whenever we go to take communion, it's a place where we have the opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ. But there is also another place, and that is through service. Now, I called this series that we're going through, kind of giving it a subtitle in the spiritual disciplines, Tilling the Soil of the Soul. Because we can use these spiritual disciplines that we're going through to partner with the Holy Spirit to create an environment where the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, where all of those are able to flourish and to grow. And then where all the weeds, you know, the sins, the bad things we do, they're easier to get out of our lives because the soil has been worked and is soft and is nutritious and things. In other words, the spiritual disciplines help us to be more like Christ. While things like fasting and meditation, they might appear to be the roundabout way of getting to be like Christ, when we do acts of service, we're kind of taking that direct route. See, obeying Jesus' command to serve one another, even as he served us. In John's Gospel, we're actually told a little bit more about the Last Supper. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked him. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. See, I think that washing the guest's feet was likely one of the lowest of tasks for a servant in the house. It was the lowest of tasks. It was the lowest servant who had to do them. The lowest on the totem pole was the one who got stuck with the job. Well, it appears on this night, at this time, even that job was too low for the lowest servant because it never got done. They avoided it. Instead, Jesus, who is the master, takes on the garment of a slave and he washes the disciples' feet. He calls us to do the same. I actually believe that literal foot washing should be a part of Christian practice. And I know during camp meeting on ordination service, they do it there. And sometimes we get the opportunity to do it once a year during Monday, Thursday service, during Holy Week. Back then, it was very practical. People walked the dusty roads and their feet got dirty and dusty, so they would wash the feet. Now it's just a symbolic act, much like when we take communion on a monthly basis. It's a symbolic act of service and of intimacy that we can have with each other. But whether you think it should actually be a part of service or not, the heart of the acts, the lowly service, somehow it should still be there. Like any other ritual act. If you wash your brother's or sister's feet only once a year, say during the Monday service, but the rest of the year you really do nothing else for them, that one act seems pretty meaningless. We are called into a life of humble service, just like Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. As Jesus says, if we are his servants, we cannot think that we are better than him. So, if the lowest of tasks in the house was not above, or in this case, not below the incarnate Son of God, there is no act of service that is below us. Foster, in his book on spiritual disciplines, he gives an entire list of different spiritual disciplines that you can go through. But I don't want to go through his book. I want to hear from you. Acts of service, things that you have seen other people do, or things that have come to your heart that could be done. Maybe there are things that you have done. I got a couple to share with you while you're thinking. Last week during the service, and maybe some of you saw this if you were here, Norma got up, and I haven't spoken with these people a whole lot about this. Norma got up, and she was walking to go out the door. And the ushers had been called forward for the offering. And as Mark was walking, he happened to be walking by Norma. And he continued to walk with her. Slowly with her, and walked with her. He didn't stop here like he normally would when we were taking the offering. But he continued to walk over, and he opened the door for Norma. Just a simple, small act. Nothing great. Mark probably never even really thought of it, saying, hey, I'm doing a great act of service here. A little bit later on, we were taking communion. And the ushers had gone through and they distributed the communion elements. And the elements had been distributed. And while we were sitting there, I noticed Jason got up. And Jason walked out. And I didn't really know what he was doing. He walked out. And then he came back in with some paper towels. And he proceeded to walk over to the piano. And he cleaned up a spill. Some juice had got spilled over here. And Jason cleaned it up a little bit. And then got rid of the paper towel and went back to his seat. Simple act. Small acts of service. They don't have to be great things. simple things. And you want me to tell you the truth? At the moment you're doing them, you're not thinking, I can do great acts of service. Many times, you don't even know you're doing acts of service. I can't tell you about acts of service I do, because I don't know what they are. I just do them. But do you have an act of service that you have seen somebody else do? Something that has come to your mind where God said, you could do this. Not a rhetorical question. Yes?
I've kind of done it, but when I was...
Mostly because it's recorded.
When I was 16, I worked in a care home, and I saw all the people that didn't get visitors. And so I would take my pastor's kids, and I would take the kids to the meals, and we would eat with all the people that wouldn't have any visitors.
Okay, cool. Great act of service.
I've done other things since then, but...
Anyone, anything else?
I was on my way to church this morning, and usually there is a guy out there waiting for money or food or something on the corner as you turn. And I thought, doggone it, you know, I took out a dollar to give to him. He wasn't there this time, of course. And I thought, get my latte after all, you know. But I went ahead and turned the corner. And he actually turned around and went on the other side of the Foster one way there. And I went ahead and stopped. I saw him. Oh, God, there he is, there he is. So I pulled over real quick because it was a turn lane only.
Uh-huh.
And I went ahead and he was sleeping there. And I thought, boy, he looks so peaceful. Should I wake him up? And I said, for a dollar, you betcha, you know. So I kind of said, hey, you know, and woke him up. And so he goes, oh, God bless, you know. I mean, he didn't say thank you to me. He said, God bless,
uh-huh.
You know, before anything else. How many of us have woken up first thing in the morning and said, just God bless for everything that we have, and knowing that there are people out there that have nothing.
All right. Anyone? Okay.
Karen last week was washing the floors out here, mm-hmm. And some of you might not know that she is in pain, and that probably affected her for 2 to 3 days. And so,
yeah.
That's definitely service.
It is. Anyone, anything else? Another one that came to my mind. As some of you know, we're going down to Modesto, and normally we go down there, we never have any practice or anything, nothing real good. So this year, the guy said, well, let's get into softball league. So we joined a softball league. On Thursday, we played our last game, and so we decided to go out to dinner. And so we go out to dinner, and there's a Red Robin close by, and so we stop off at Red Robin, and I'm going to use names, so sorry. We go to dinner, and one of the guys who's not part of our church, who's not normally part of our group, lives out in Wilsonville stuff. He joined us, and Barb brought us home. Said, I was planning on paying for three people, and she wasn't paying for somebody else. So said, okay, I'll take his meal. That's an act of service. And I'm sure he appreciated it. Anyone, anything else? Acts of service.
Are you talking about Brian, by the way?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Well, conveniently, Brian also did an act, or he's offered to do an act of service. Our softball team, we look for places to practice, but being it not in the school year, a lot of fields aren't maintained, so like they're in really bad shape. And he just offered, he has a hitting facility that he has access to out in Wilsonville. And he said, anytime we need, we could just call him and he would come and open it up for us, just, you know, totally out of the blue, random. And that was a really... just another act of random service. And then just anything that my grandpa, Don LaFont, does around this church. He's doing everything, everywhere right now. He's in the back, but he's always wandering the hallways and making sure everything's right, so.
Yeah, we started the list, we'd be here all day, wouldn't we? Anyone, anything else? Acts of service.
I've seen somebody help somebody that was stuck in that was in a wheelchair and not able to move the get out of the corner of the street.
Okay.
And then also the ramp of the wheelchair, the same person a block later wasn't able to get up the ramps, and so because the ramps were not actually handicap proof, so he still needed help, and someone helped him with that too.
This morning, after I picked up Willa Mae, we were going down Gleason, and we stopped at a light at 122nd. And I noticed in a crosswalk across the intersection on the other side, this gentleman, he had one of those little scooter carts that he was sitting on, and he had stood up because it stopped running. And a lady in the left-turn lane right in front of him got out of her car to try and help him, and another guy pulled over, and they got him off the street right by McDonald's there and talked to him a little bit, and then they drove off. So I guess I don't know if his battery went dead or he turned off the key and didn't know it or whatever, but after that he was fine. But just noticing things like that, it's a blessing.
I got one that I just thought of. It's actually about me. I didn't think of it as being an act of service at the time. I was here a few weeks ago, and I was walking through the neighborhood, knocking on doors, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and some guy pulls up and says, "Do you know where Yamhill Street is?" He's looking for Yamhill Street. Anyone know where Yamhill is from here? Yeah. And I said, "It's that way." And he goes, "I've been looking for over 75 minutes. He's supposed to be at a house, and he says he's driven up and down, up and down." I said, "Well, it's just that way a little bit. I'm not sure how far, but it's that way." I said, "Here, do this." And so I'm over by the school, okay, by Richmond School. I said, "Follow me. I have a GPS in my truck and stuff." So I kind of ran over there, and he's driving on the roads, and he follows me, and I'm parked over in the lot there, and I put in the address he's looking for. And I said, "Okay, this is where it says," because it's battery operated, we're on batteries. And I pull it out and show it to him and give him all the directions that it says and stuff like that. I said, "So just go that way." He says, "I've been up and down the street looking. I can't find it." So I, after the directions, I said, "Go ahead and go there again. And if for some reason you still can't find it, come back, and I'll ride over there with you. I'll bring my GPS and ride over there to help you find it," thing. So he never came back, so he must have found it after that. So simple acts of service. Anyone, anything else?
Heartwork Crew.
Heartwork Crew, yeah. Every week, Heartwork is here. And there are a lot of people who come through, not just street people, but people who live in houses, and they give them food, they give them clothing, they pray with them. Sometimes they allow them to come in and just sit down and relax and get a place to eat. So, yeah. Last opportunity. There's many of them there. And you all do them. Whether you think you do or not, you all do acts of service all the time. Yeah, Will and
I appreciate Mark picking me up.
Okay. Okay. Mark taking the time to pick Will and May up so that she can come to church. That's an act of service. It really is. Yeah, Barb.
My mom, years ago, when my kids were little, helped me out with child care when we couldn't afford to pay for it. And 22 years later, she was doing it again for me. And that's been a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually had Isaac with them and went. And so Don and Carol took care of their kids and their grandkids, and now they get the blessed opportunity of taking care of their great-grandkids as well. Yes, Alicia.
I was just going to say, so many of us do things with family cards that you don't even think of it as an act of kindness.
Yeah.
You just do it because it's family.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, Mike.
Well, I work in the service industry.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's not really my area. And you can tell those are kind of that little
Let me finish with this paragraph that Foster writes in the book on the chapter of service. He writes this, he says, "Service that is duty motivated breeds death. Service that flows out of an inward person is life and joy and peace. The risen Christ beckons us to the ministry of the Tao. Perhaps you would like to begin by experimenting with a prayer that a number of us have used. Begin the day by praying." And Colin, go to put it up there. "Lord Jesus, I would so appreciate it if you would bring me someone today whom I can serve." Take the challenge of doing the spiritual discipline of service and begin your day with, "Lord Jesus, I would so appreciate it if you would bring me someone today whom I can serve." And then when he does bring that person, be willing to do it. That's the second part of it. But as we get into this, and you've all done a great job, as we begin moving beyond these walls, and we go out and do the different things, it's just amazing. I've talked with other people, because people go, "Well, how is church doing?" and stuff like that. And I'm telling them about it. And I'm just proud, ecstatic, and humbled. I don't know exactly what it is. But you all show up to do the work, to reach out beyond these walls and to serve people and to do things and to reach out to our community. It's great. Keep it up.